loop. All right, so I'm going to need some participation with this. I need you to tell me what are the worst times possible to lose cell phone signal. What are the worst times possible to lose cell phone signal?
When you're lost.
When you're lost, okay. Garrett told me he got lost while running this morning and went 8 extra miles on Highway 63. Yeah. When your car breaks down. What? When you're hiking. Hiking? You usually don't have good cell phone signal when you're hiking in the first place, though. What about when you call into the radio station, you just won the $10,000, and they ask, okay, what's your name? Yeah, that'd be a terrible time to lose cell phone signal. What if you're at a gun range and someone accidentally discharges a firearm? And that has nothing to do with any scenarios I know of, right? No one was hurt. That's good. When your car is broken down, a strong connection matters, right? A strong connection is important. When you want to communicate, when you want to tell something important, when you need some help, strong connections are important. For the past, a long while, but for the past year, I've been thinking about it through these words that we're going to use today. I've been thinking through what is the vision of Ridgeview Christian Church? And vision is a fancy church word. It's just another way of saying, what's your goal? What is the goal of this church? And that should be obvious for a church, right? But we can put it in the words of a cell phone connection, maybe. The goal is to get people connected to God, right? That shouldn't be too hard to think through, but then that sounds nice. It's like, oh, that's cute. We should all get closer to God. We should know our Creator. Yeah, we know that. We need a relationship with God. Okay. But do you know the difference between a goal and a dream? What's a dream? Something you know that sounds nice that you hope to maybe one day do. What is a goal as opposed to a dream? So you actually have steps and a plan for how to accomplish that dream. That's the difference. Lots of people have dreams. Not as many people have real goals of this is how I'm going to achieve this thing that I want. And if we walk around just telling people, wouldn't it be nice if the world was more connected to God? Who's going to say no to that, right? Because it's so generic and just pie in the sky sounding there. But I'm afraid we're doing a lot of dreaming and sometimes not as much discipleship if we're just saying those nice church words and saying, oh yeah, we'd love it if that happened. Because you can't approach and connect to God on your own terms. We can't do that. We can't just say, you know what, I think God should connect with me in this way, and so I'm doing it this way now. That's not how a real God works. A real God with a real personality and a real intelligence. That's not how it works. All the way back in what is probably the very first biblical book ever written is not Genesis. Genesis is the first one that takes place. But the first one written most likely, and I'm not going to argue about this, but possibly was the book of Job. Job is one of the earliest ones written as far as we know. And Job's friend Zophar once said, can you find out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limit of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven, what can you do? Deeper than Sheol, what can you know? So just even from that, and Zophar, he's one of Job's friends, so he's not necessarily trustworthy, but he makes a good point. And that is, how on earth are you supposed to know about God? Job, you presume to know so much about him. How can you know about God? In the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we see the first human separated from God, and cherubim are placed there with a flaming sword to keep humanity away from God's presence. Even if we go all the way to the New Testament, Romans 3:23, right? It's all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. John 3, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we are separated from God, we are fallen short of his glory, we're unable to know his nature, and we can't even see his kingdom. How can we approach God in our own terms? How can we get close to God just because we think happy thoughts about wanting to do so? Well, to explain the title of this sermon series of God Below the Line, let me point out that you can think of our sin that separated us from God as this great line, this wall is formed. There's a line between us and God. We cannot cross it. Occasionally in Scripture, God brings someone else across that line, like he drags them. Like I think of Isaiah, who gets brought before the throne room of God. And what's Isaiah's first thoughts? And first thing he says when he realizes what's going on, he says, woe is me, I'm dead now because I'm in God's presence and I'm not a holy person. And then God helps him out there. He does not instantly die. But it's nice to say, you know, I'd love to be connected with God, and I want a relationship with God. And, you know, I sure wish God would help me out more often. But we can easily be at a loss for how to do that, right? Or if we do it sometimes, we do it poorly, perhaps. Who doesn't want a relationship with God? And unfortunately, sometimes churches that tell people, hey, follow God, and then give you no information on how to do that, that can make you worse off occasionally. But here's the good news. The good news is that God approaches us and goes below that line of sin to connect with us himself. He wants to be known by his creation. He wants for us to get to know him better. He goes below that line and attempts to make a connection with us in four ways that I can think of. Maybe you can think of more, but these, I think, get the summary of the ways that he connects with us. And that is through Jesus Christ, God himself incarnate, God in man, the Son of God. Also through God's Holy Spirit. Through humans that God has empowered to be his representatives on the earth, the prophets of old, the chosen people of Israel, and even in today's time period, that would be the church. And then also, even through the created world, God connects with us. Although it's fallen, we can still learn quite a bit about God through his creation. And so let's abbreviate the four ways that God comes below the line of his perfection into our imperfect world with these four words. And since it's more spiritual, if it's an alliteration, it's at least like 15% more spiritual when you use an alliteration. We can say that God approaches us and goes below the line and connects with us through his Son, his Spirit, his saints, and his secular. You've got those, right? Hopefully they'll be on the screen too. But his Son, his Spirit, his saints, and his secular. And since God approaches us in these ways, he connects with us, he goes below the line in these ways, and our goal is to get connected to him, and our church's goal is to get more people connected to him. What do you think our job now is? If this is how God approaches us, what should our job be then? It should be to connect to God through these four things, right? That shouldn't be too hard of a thing then. So how do we do that? Well, that's easy, and I've got another alliteration for you, because alliterations, I don't use enough of them as a preacher, so I feel like I have to catch up. We believe in God's Son, we become Spirit-filled, we build up the saints, and we brave the secular world. That's how you can connect to God. And so I know I'm a bit of the way through the sermon already, but I know it's 4 points, you're not allowed to. That's speeding in a preaching zone, you're supposed to do 3 points. We'll do these 4 points here really quickly, and over the next 4 weeks, we'll actually talk about each one individually a little bit more, but here's the top-level view here. First, believe in God's Son. In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we have a very unique perspective on how God reaches out to humanity. It's this passage. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Skipping a few verses. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God has drawn near to us, and he has dwelt with us, and he's done this through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so the first step for connecting to God is to believe that Jesus is God's Son and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized and to unite yourself with his salvation, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That shouldn't be a hard first step. That's first way of connecting to God. That's getting to know the living Word of God. The second step is actually related because now we also need to get to know the written Word of God. Because Jesus is the living Word. The written Word is how we actually know who Jesus is. Because it's one thing to say, yeah, I know Adam Block. It's another thing to have never, ever spent any time with me and be like, oh, yeah, I know him a lot, right? And so you need to spend time with the written Word of God. How else do we know Christ except through his Word, the Bible? That's how you get to know him. And so first, believe in God's Son. Second, this should be easy, right? Become Spirit-filled. That's the next thing we do to connect with God. Jesus said once said this about the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. John 16, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. God sent his Spirit to the world as a helper for us. That's the title that Jesus actually uses in this passage for the Holy Spirit, the helper. And he also calls the Spirit of truth here. God's Holy Spirit has come to teach us conviction, teach us righteousness, teach us judgment, God's authority, and the things to come. So if we want to be connected in the way that God connects to us and through this way, and through the way that God has sent himself to be connected to humanity, then we need to answer the calling of God's Spirit to become Spirit-filled people. And this will bring about holiness. It'll bring about wholeness. Pursuing and engaging with God's Spirit will bring about that conviction that Jesus talked about. You'll become a more holy person. Pursuing and engaging with God's Spirit will also bring about a fulfilled life. You'll become more of a whole person. And so how do you do this? Well, we're going to talk about this more in a couple weeks. But here's the easy first step way, and it's not as complicated as a lot of people think it is. God promises us that we will receive his Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38 if we repent from sins and are baptized by going down in the water and coming back up. It's a promise made in Acts to anyone, and it says for you, and it's for all who are far off. If you're ever worried about whether or not you can become Spirit-filled, get baptized. And Scripture promises that it happens. If God can create the world through his words, I think he can send his Holy Spirit through the promise of his words. And so you trust in that promise of Scripture. How do you then continue in a Spirit-filled life and become more and more Spirit-filled throughout your life? We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But one of the ways is you engage and you train in the spiritual disciplines. One of the spiritual disciplines, I know it sounds like a strange word, but it's just things like reading the Bible, praying, and then that scary word, fasting. There's other things like that, but those are ways to engage the Spirit and make yourself more of a Spirit-filled person. And so we connect to God by believing in his Son. We connect to God by becoming Spirit-filled. This one should be hard if you already have the words written down or if you think of the next slide. We also connect to God by choosing to build up the saints. Who are the saints? Not a bunch of dead people. They are included in the saints, but who else? Yes. You, yes. If you are a member of the church, not just this church, but a member of the church, if you are a Christian, you are a saint. God has called his representatives on this earth the saints. And the saints is just a fancy word for people who are Christians. It comes from the same root word as sanctified. It's someone who God is sanctifying. And the church is just a fancy word for group of Christians. That's what church means, is group of Christians. Then you've got a bunch of saints gathered here together in this room. You've got a bunch of saints whenever any church gathers up. And the church, the collective group of Christians, it's meant to be God's representatives on the earth. Like the Israelites in the Old Testament were meant to be God's nation on the earth. Like the prophets were meant to be God's voice on the earth. The saints are meant to be God's representatives on the earth today as well. According to the Apostle Peter, the church's job is to proclaim God's excellencies as a people. Like 1 Peter 2:9, he says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." If you've received mercy through believing in Jesus Christ, guess what? You are a saint, and now your job is to proclaim the excellencies of him who saved you. And so we work together to do that as the church and build each other up. If we want to get connected to God through this way, that God connects to humanity, we get plugged into the church. That's one way to connect with God, is to connect to the church. And we should build up the church by building up the people within it, building up the families within it. There's a lot of metaphors in Scripture for a church. There's the metaphor of the temple. There's the metaphor of Jesus' body. One metaphor I like, and I'm going to key in right now. I like them all. But one metaphor I like for the metaphor of the church is a family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. When we talk about building up the saints, we also need to talk about building up the front lines of the church and the front lines of the society, and that is families. And at Ridgeview, we must be a family of God that's made up of families for God. We need to treat each other like brothers and sisters that care about each other. So we connect to God by treating our brothers and sisters in Christ like we actually care about them as siblings. That's one of the ways that we connect to God. We actually want our brothers and sisters to succeed. Right? Like, I take pride when my brothers or my sister do something really cool. And so we should do that with our brothers and sisters in Christ and be excited for them when they succeed and help them to succeed. So we believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, we become Spirit-filled, we build up the church, and fourth, We brave the secular world. Secular is an odd word, and I know some of you might be like, why are we connecting to God through secular things? That's bad, right? But secular just means non-religious. That's all the word means. And so, yes, secular can have worse connotations, but in this case, let's go with secular. I needed the S word, right? It needed to be an alliteration. But it's anything that's not religious here. And how can you approach God through things that aren't religious? Well, it just means like not the church or not Jesus himself or not the Spirit. It kind of makes sense that if God is perfection, then anything beautiful should remind us of him. It makes sense that if God is all-knowing, then learning anything that is true makes us more Christ-like. It makes sense that if God is coherent, then philosophy and logic and even math, when done appropriately, can draw us to God. There are parts of this world meant to draw us to God, and yes, sin has corrupted many of those things and kind of put a veil in the way of some of those things, but this world still is God's creation. He is still the designer of it. He's still the one that made all of these things, and he is true perfection. He is true beauty. He's true science, even. Omniscient is a word we use for him. That's from the words omni and science. That's those two words combined. God knows all things. And so if we want to connect to God through the secular parts of this world that aren't fully corrupted by sin, what do we do? Well, we need to get brave and enter into the world, right? And as Christians, we must minister to the world. That's what Jesus was wanting us to do. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he said these to his people. He said in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house, to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We must shine in the world. We can't lose our distinct flavor of being salt or else we're worthless for shining out in the world, but we have to shine in the world, not cover it up with a basket. I know it's become a cliche. It's a Christian cliche, and some of those are really bad, but you need to be in the world, but not of it. Have you heard that phrase before? It's not a bad thought. It's the salt and light thing here. But how can we learn about God through his creation if we shy away from it? How can we go out and bless the world if we aren't brave enough to interact with it? How can we shine a light if we just put a basket over our own lamps? And how can we improve flavor if the salt never touches the food? It's not how salt. I love salt. I don't like any other seasoning at all. I'm really weird. But if I just pour salt next to the plate, it does nothing, right? Except for a few flakes that bounce over. Those are just luck. But we connect to God by braving the secular world. And we put all this together as the goal of Ridgeview Christian Church. We connect to God and the way that God connects to us through his Son, through his saints, through his Spirit, through his secular. And it forms some nice core values of Ridgeview Christian Church too. If you'll, I know core values is an office speak word, but here are some things. Ridgeview Christian Church values the living word, Jesus Christ. And Ridgeview Christian Church values the written word, the Holy Bible. Ridgeview Christian Church values self-empowered holiness and spirit-filled wholeness, or spirit-empowered holiness, not self. Spirit-empowered holiness and spirit-filled wholeness. We value the family of God. We value families for God. We value being in the world, and yet we also value being distinct from the world. Hopefully we can value these things together and work on these things as a church that is wanting to get more people connected to God. Don't just try to pursue God on your own terms. Instead, draw near to God in the way that God draws near to us and made himself known to the world. Believe in God's Son. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and read the written word about him. Become spirit-filled. Answer the call to become one of God's disciples and be baptized into his name. Build up the saints. Commit to attending church and commit your family to build up God's family. And brave the secular. Advance God's kingdom into the world by serving in a ministry in order to bless the world. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take 1 week for each one of those things, and we'll put some action words behind it because I don't want them to just be dreams. I want them to actually be goals that have real concrete steps that we can hopefully do some of these things as a church. I don't want them to just end up as fancy church words. Won't you build up the saints by committing to be here over the next 4 weeks to learn more? And then also, which of these four points can you work on today? Maybe you need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Maybe you need to become committed to being spirit-filled, maybe through baptism for the first time, are saying, no, I actually should commit to practicing one of the spiritual disciplines, like praying more often or spending some time with God. And maybe you need to commit to this church by placing membership at Ridgeview Christian Church, or maybe volunteering to serve in one of our ministry teams here. Maybe you need to brave the secular world by saying, you know what, there is someone I know that needs to have the gospel spoken to them. There is someone I know that I should be salt in their life and let them know about just how great God is. What are ways that you can do one of these four things? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you are a God who does not remain just aloof and far away. We know that you are powerful and transcendent, separate from us because of your vast holiness. We are thankful that you are also imminent and near to us, and you want us, and we are dear to you, and you want to be dear to our lives as well. So help us to connect to you through the ways that you have connected to us and reached out to the world. May we believe more in your Son. May we become more spirit-filled. May we build up your church and the saints. And may we brave the world and bless it. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you'd like to do one of those four things today, as we stand and sing our final song, feel free to do so. You can come forward and talk to me about believing in Jesus and accepting him as your Lord and Savior, becoming spirit-filled by maybe being baptized. We don't have a baptistry in this room, but we still have one up there, and it works just fine, and we'd love for you to be baptized in it. I'd be like all walking up to the river is what we'd be doing, kind of like. Maybe you need to build up the church by placing membership here, or brave the secular by committing maybe to a ministry in the church or outside of the church. If you'd like to do any of those commitments, feel free to do so as we stand and sing, or talk to me after service as well. Let's stand.